Hello, and welcome back to Two Idiots and a Bible. Today, we're going to be talking about doing God's work. We have to make an apology, don't we, before we start? Yeah, last week we were meant to have uploaded an episode and we forgot to record it, hence Two Idiots and a Bible.
Yeah, sorry. I just do the talking, Wayne does the techie stuff, so if you want to have a moan, address it to Wayne.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so sorry. But people need to understand there's a lot of technical stuff and you have to set up a lot of levels and it is so easy not to hit the record. You need one of those like lights with green light, red light. Not like that show that was on Netflix. I forgot what it's called now.
I don't know.
Squid Games, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But they have them in recording studios, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Maybe. Is this going into the podcast?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
We haven't got time to make many edits today.
We're back, Aaron. Yeah, we apologise for...
Back to our high standards.
Yeah. Wayne, what are we talking about?
We'll be talking about doing God's work.
Yeah. Okay.
So...
Go on in.
You're a shining example of this, aren't you, for doing God's work, because you do it every day.
I'm an example. I don't know about a shining example, but I'm an example.
Are.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, in my day-to-day working life.
Friday, 9 till 5.
if only.
And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, not necessarily 9 to 5 either. But yeah, my paid job is I'm basically a project coordinator, but if you want to sort of boil that down, I'm a community worker. Work among the community. I do work for a church, and
churches are available.
They are definitely available.
I've got it in first,
but I come to ours instead because it's great. So I work for the church, and my job is kind of community outreach, and I think I do God's work.
That wasn't very descriptive, was it?
It wasn't very descriptive.
I'm a community manager. So what do
I'm
you
a manager? I'm project coordinator, thank you.
Is there a difference?
Yeah.
You're still on about £20 an hour.
Whoever said I manage?
You had your own business before, so why did you shy away from that and do your church project coordinator work?
Because I get paid to do my church project coordinator
work. But you had your own business.
Yeah. Do you get paid for it?
Any job, lucrative jobs.
Yeah.
But you chose this really badly paid one. Can I say that?
Yeah. I work for a church. They're never well paid unless you are the head of a mega church.
I don't really have much money. The church, I mean, the building, the church itself is really old. They've not pulled it down and built a new one.
So I work for...
I literally went over his head.
Did it? Did something go over my head?
Mm.
Okay.
I feel so alone right now.
We need the bell that tolls, and we need a tumbleweed rattling through. Yeah, I totally missed.
That moment's passed.
Yeah, okay.
You left me hanging.
Yeah, and actually, jokes are rubbish if you have to explain them.
Yeah.
All right, so what is God's work?
I'm not sure I cleared up what you do as a managing coordinator of the church.
I'm not of the church. I run a community project, which basically we help support people who are having a tough time in life, whether that be poverty, unemployment, whether it be addiction, mental health issues, all of those kinds of things. All of the symptoms of a
life.
Yeah, all of the symptoms of a tough life, you know.
Because life is hard for everybody.
Life is hard for everybody, but there are those who generally worst affected than others.
So, and you, during the week, you run a women's group, you run a job club, you do a garden group, a soup kitchen.
Yep.
Monday, Friday.
Yeah.
This is all God's work.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's church community work. Hopefully I'm doing God's work because I work for the church. So it'd be pretty rubbish if I wasn't doing God's work.
So how do you know it's God's work?
Because this is what I feel called to do. We mentioned that I did a degree before. And a theology degree. So when I started that degree, I didn't know where it was going to lead, but I basically asked God that it would lead to somewhere where I could do His work, where I could serve the kingdom of God. And then this job came up literally as the course was ending. I'd been kind of doing the job that I do as kind of an intern. So I was working underneath somebody, and they were kind of showing me the ropes, and I learned a lot from them. And they left their position, which opened up the position that I'm doing now. And it was God's timing.
Doing God's work, or were they just doing a job?
No, they were definitely doing God's work, and they were passionate about it. Obviously, they put their own stamp on it, and I think I come along and put my own stamp on it. We approached the job differently, but we both feel like we are doing God's work, and
definitely are.
Yeah, and we leave a bit of a legacy behind us, hopefully.
It is a great legacy, and you felt it was your calling.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough for you, was it? It's a bit like This Is Your Life.
It wasn't enough for me.
So then you thought, I'm going to start a charity now. And
so the charity came before my job. The charity came even before the business that I was running.
Mention it.
Yeah, we can mention it. So I run a homeless charity in Devon, in the UK.
You can be more specific because it's your charity.
Okay, so I help my wife to run a charity called Bread of Life Outreach, and we go out and we run Soup Kitchen twice a week on a Thursday and Friday evening, and we also go out on a Sunday morning with two trolleys and a car full of goodies, hot drinks, hot dogs, chocolate, socks, sleeping bags if people need them.
And after a busy week, you're getting up at 4:30. At the weekend.
Yeah, on a Sunday morning. I feel that I'm not called to go and sit in a church on a Sunday morning, although I do. I always try and make it back in time for church. I feel that church is also outside of the building. It's on the streets. It's among where people are struggling. Yeah. And there are plenty of people on our doorstep who need help, who need to know that Jesus loves them. And that's what we try and do.
And you do it well.
I hope so.
I've seen you at work. You do well.
Thank you.
I mean, we were talking about the older generation being some real pains in the... No?
Yeah, let's just not be too descriptive here, please.
All right. Well, we don't know where we are, but... They've been moaning and bickering and complaining. And that's part of what you do, is dealing with difficult people.
I guess I am a bit of a peacemaker. Not a pacemaker, a peacemaker.
So it's really trying. So even though you're doing the right thing or a good thing, you think people will be thankful and grateful and be like, oh, it's amazing, brilliant, park here, do what you like to do, what you do. But people are like, nope.
There's always somebody who's going to be challenging. We live in a world that's full of challenging people, and that's when we do our work, is when we come face to face with challenging people. Jesus tells us that we're not supposed to be kind to those who are like us. We're supposed to be kind to those who are not like us, those who are spiky and a bit prickly, and you know.
I struggle so hard with that concept.
But you're learning, and you'll learn to have grace. And actually, when you read the Apostle Paul, I think it's the book of Acts, he tells us that Jesus is the head of the church, and we are the body of the church. Doesn't matter what denomination you are, whether you're Church of England, whether you're Baptist, whether you're Methodist, Catholic, or whichever denomination you come from. It doesn't matter if you are a Christian, if you're trying to live as Jesus lived and trying to live by the examples of Jesus, you are the body of the church. I can't do what you do. You can't do what I do. So it's a case of one person is... Say again?
Challenge accepted.
So Paul uses the example of, you know, not everybody can be an eye, not everybody can be an ear, you know, not everybody can be a toe. I don't think he uses the example of a toe, But, you know, we can't all be a leg, can't all be an elbow, can't all be a spine.
We carefully avoid certain other body parts, even though we want to.
Well, so
Did Paul you just have that urge right then?
Yeah. So Paul does say that actually there are some slightly less attractive body parts, and they're okay too. They have their place in the world.
Okay.
All right.
We're like 12, aren't we?
Yeah.
Body functions.
We all make up this body of Christ. We all make up the body of church, and we all have different roles to play. What I'm good at isn't necessarily for everybody else, you know, and what you're good at, I probably can't do. I can't take photographs the way that you take photographs. I wouldn't even know where to start.
I can teach you.
Yeah, and I could teach you to a degree about how to work with difficult people and stuff. Yeah, we've all got a God-given talent, several God-given talents, in fact. You do you, I do me. No, that sounds awful.
After
you do what you're good at, and I do what I'm good at, and you know, yeah, hopefully that they link in together, and this goes part way to making up the body of Christ. I think we're making sense. Are we making sense?
I don't think we're doing very well this week, but I like it.
Okay.
It's just so real, isn't it?
People think that to do God's work, you have to be out in Africa digging wells, building schools. You have to be out feeding the homeless. You have to be Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And that is not true. So you can do God's work in the everyday, seemingly mundane things.
So how could I do God's work?
By being the best that you can be at what you do. Okay, so you do some volunteer work.
I do. And I'm one of your disciples.
Bless you, my child. It's not an easy act to follow, is it? So it's about doing that role to the best of your ability and with integrity and with honesty. And if you, when we tried to record this before, and yeah, we didn't actually record it, we used the example of a lady that I saw at a Christian festival. She stood up on stage and she said that when she was like 16, 17, her job was to sweep up hair in a hair salon. And she hated it, absolutely hated it.
You can see why. It
kind of feels like that's not the most interesting job in the world. But she went to somebody in her church and said, oh, just, you know, what am I doing with my life? And they said, well, if you do this work as though you are doing it for Jesus and doing it to the best of your ability and with a smile always on your face and prayerfully, and, you know, and when it comes to making your customers a cup of tea, then make the best cup of tea that you can possibly make, and, you know, give it your time and attention. Yeah. And you always aim to please the person that you're serving. That's doing God's work. You do it as though Jesus has asked you to do it.
Okay.
And then she took this attitude to work with her. And whenever she was sweeping up hair, she was telling herself, well, I'm sweeping up hair for Jesus. And then she became a successful owner of a hairdresser's.
So she took that and just kept running with it.
Yeah, just kept running with it. And before she knew it, she had several branches of a hairdressing salon business. I'm not explaining myself very well, but she had a successful hairdressing business with several stores.
You're struggling because you've never been to a hairdresser, have you?
Not for a while. Not for a while. My wife does my hair. She puts a bowl on my head and cuts around it. So and then what she did with her salons, she employed people that a lot of other people would bypass, would turn their backs on. So she'd employ ex-prisoners and people that have been in trouble with the police and people that have had a long history of mental health or, you know, addiction and things like that. She'd train them up to be a hairdresser and just show them love and kindness and give them an opportunity that other people wouldn't give them.
Interesting, because I was reading recently about a certain warehouse that only employed people who've come out of prison.
Yeah.
And the crime rate in this warehouse versus regular warehouses is a lot lower because these people have embraced the opportunity.
Yeah.
And not done anything wrong. Whereas perhaps someone who's more regular warehouse thinking, I could probably take that, no one's going to be bothered. Yet they're not.
Yeah. So they appreciate that somebody's gone out of their way and accepted them and accepted that they've got a past and accepted that people can change if they're given the opportunity.
The neighbours are doing some building works over here, some rumbles. It's not Scott.
It's been a while since I had my lunch, so it might be me. You can sweep up hair for Jesus. You can do the most ordinary stuff for the kingdom of God. You can be scrubbing toilets. You can be selling insurance. You can be, I don't know, making flipping burgers.
What about tax collector or traffic warden?
You can. But it's about just being pleasant and polite and doing your job with integrity and with honesty and doing it to the very best of your ability.
Those are not the qualifications of a tax collector.
Say that again.
Those are not the qualifications of a tax collector or traffic warden.
Ordinarily. But actually, they've got to do things by the book. They've got to do things by the law. So
let's talk about Matthew then. I mean, he was a tax collector.
He was a tax collector.
He saw the error of his ways.
He did see the error of his ways, and he became one of Jesus's first disciples. So why not? And a man doing tax collecting, and they were deemed to be the lowest of the low in that time.
Are you saying this because it's coming up to April?
Yeah. Thankfully, I don't have to do my own taxes. My boss does them for me. Nice. Well, he doesn't, but somebody in our team does it for me. So, yeah, the accountant does it. I don't do it.
So we talked about before when you felt you had a calling to be like a vicar or a curate or in church and stuff. Did you feel it was your calling or was that you thinking perhaps that's your calling?
I thought perhaps that was my calling and I did explore it. And that door, it felt like that just wasn't the right spot for me to be in. I felt like that door closed quite firmly and quite quickly.
I'm glad. I know that sounds bad.
I'm glad
too. I can
see
how much good you do through what you do with your street preaching.
So, street preaching?
Well, because when you're giving coffee and bread and sausage rolls and whatever in morning and the soup, you know, there's always... You say, you know, can I pray for you? And there's little conversations about from the Bible and stuff. Mm. So it's kind of preachy.
So when you say street preacher, you know.
I didn't mean like on the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. Shouting at people as they walk by, turn or burn.
It's the end of the world is nigh.
Yeah. We have discussions about Jesus and what Jesus means to me and, you know, about how Jesus has changed my life. And Jesus can change anybody's life if they just. Let him into their hearts.
Amazed me because you were where they were. You understand you've been there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what qualifies me quite well to do my job and to do the charity work. It's because I've been in that position of the people that I try and support.
Because on our when I wasn't doing so great and I was in a bad place, a lady said, you know, meet up with Scott, you know, maybe become part of his project. Find your feet again and restart your sort of life. And that's a common thing for people.
All been downhill from there.
Going through separation. And I'm like, I don't want to. It does not appeal to me in any way or form. I do not want to do this. And then she said, well, Scott's got a lot in common with you because he's gone through what you have. And at that point, it's like, oh, wow. And... You know, you'd been homeless and gone through a tricky separation with children involved and all of that. And I was like, yeah. So when we talked about it, I was like, wow, I felt that was the moment we sort of bonded.
I think it helps to...
The real moment we bonded when we was at a life group and I'd done that really loud fart. And then she walked away from me and you'd done it. That was the true bonding moment.
And we'll gently brush that one under the carpet.
It wasn't that kind of fart. Oh, I've gone too far.
Oh man.
More apologies.
Where were we?
We're sorry.
bring it back in. Bring it back in. Yeah. So it does help when you are somebody who can genuinely say, this is my story. My story is similar to yours. And I can show you that actually there is a way back from, you know, even the hardest of situations, because, you know, I am on, you know, I'm proof of that.
It can happen to anyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, but I didn't do it in my strength. I did it with the strength of Jesus. I did it with the strength of God. Having faith was the turning point for me. Finding faith, having that encounter with God was just the massive turning point in my life. And finding a good church community was instrumental in all of that. Yeah, I think being able to be authentic in what you do.
Yeah, you definitely have to be authentic.
You could have. We see it then. We see people in our government, and they're supposed to represent us in this world. They're supposed to, you know, kind of make decisions based what is right for the general public. And lots of them have no idea what it's like to be a member of the general public, because lots of them who are in power have had a privileged upbringing. You know, our own prime minister is worth millions and millions and millions. So how does he know? How does he know what it's like to be you or me? How does he know what it's like to be, you know, a member of the masses? Because that doesn't represent you or me, does it?
I laughed at our prime minister when he was talking about one of his favourite shops, but his favourite shop had been closed for like 2 years.
Yeah. Being authentic in what you do and being able to say that, okay, I know this stuff works because it worked for me. I've lived it. Is helpful for other people to see that, well, yeah, okay, this is genuine.
So this is something we can all do. We can all embrace our jobs, our skills, our projects we're involved with.
Yeah. You can basically, you start your working day. It might be when you get to work. It might be before you start the journey to work. And just ask Jesus into your day. Just say, Lord, I invite you into my day. And I ask that you lead me through it and that you would give me the words to speak. Help me to be your hands and feet. Show me how I can help somebody today. Show me how I can be genuine. Show me how I can be generous and show me how I can be full of grace. You might be somebody who works, let's think about somebody who works with difficult people or people in difficult circumstances.
Debt collectors,
exactly that. You can go about that job as gently as you possibly can and ask Jesus to show you, you know, how do I do this gently and how do I do this in a way that's going to help people rather than, you know, in a way that's going to tear people down. Because if you're going in and you're going to evict somebody from their home, you know, you can see them
on TV, don't you, those shows, and
and some of them seem to have a total lack of care and understanding, and it's just like, well, you've put yourself in this situation. But then I've seen on a particular program, I think it's the bailiffs are coming or something like that. There's two guys who go in, and a lot of their work is evicting people from properties.
Yeah.
But they'll load their van up with people's bags and belongings and take them down to the council office and say, here's your letter. Make sure you go and give that to a housing officer.
I've seen them ring up landlord and say, can they stay for a little bit longer for the weekend, perhaps?
Can they at least keep their belongings here until Monday or, you know, and they go about their job with real grace, with real not generosity, and with in a gentle way,
love for fellow human beings.
Yeah, absolutely, and recognizing that actually, you know, it's not always somebody's fault that they're in this situation, and I'm going to help them in any way that I can, even if it is their fault. I'm still going to help them.
It's not people's fault a lot of time. Businesses fail because of economical reasons.
Yeah.
What people like, or COVID, and then before you know it, the business isn't making money and they're racking up debts, or they lose their job.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they've got this lovely house, brilliant holidays each year, everything going for them, and it's taken away so quickly. Yeah.
There is like a statistic out there that we're all only like two paychecks away from homelessness and bankruptcy. So yeah, it can happen to anybody, and you better tread very, very carefully with the way that you treat people, because you might be on the receiving end of that treatment yourself.
So back to the topic of doing God's work.
Yeah.
How does he pay us?
With grace. He pays us with grace, and you know,
I don't mean that from the financials sense. I do it for the love of, but I want to ask the question anyway.
So if you're volunteering for a charitable organisation, you're not going to get paid. It's that simple. You might get your travel expenses or whatever. You're not going to get paid for it, all right? There is something so good about serving other people. Yeah. And you see yourself growing in spirit, in emotionally. You see that, it affects you in such a way. You go home with a warm, fuzzy feeling, and to know that I helped somebody out today, genuinely helped somebody out today. And it says, again, in the Bible, I can never quote where it is, or, you know, what chapter and verse and all that sort of stuff. But it says in the Bible, that which you put in, God will give back tenfold, you know, and he does. I've seen it where people have given money away only to see that their bank account hasn't been affected by it at all. In actual fact, they got more money in their bank account than they had when they gave some money away.
I've seen some very, very poor people give away so much of their finance to help other people.
Yeah.
And I've seen some really rich people not even put their hands in their pocket.
Exactly that.
Wow.
Exactly that. So there is a story that Jesus and his disciples are sat opposite the temple, and there are people going into the temple, and they're giving their financial gifts into the collection box, whatever it is. And I think it's like a collection chest, and you've got all these wealthy people, they're going in and chucking in huge sums of money, but it's like a drop in the ocean compared to what they've got at home, what they've got in the bank, what they're going to earn today. It's just a drop in the ocean.
Yeah.
And then there's the widow that comes along and puts in a couple of copper coins. And she, if you compare it to what somebody else has put in, it's nothing. But it was everything she had. And that is, and Jesus talks about it, she is going to be the one who gets blessed by that.
Do you still get the warm fuzzies for doing all your good work?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you not get desensitized to it and it just becomes a regular thing?
No. There's times when I go home and I'm exhausted, and it's just like, oh, you know, that's been a really tough day, and I kind of felt like I got nowhere today. It kind of felt like, you know,
I've seen that with you, where you felt like you've got nothing done, and I've seen you complete many, many tasks and help a lot of people.
Yeah. And you don't always necessarily see the fruit of what you do, but sometimes you see it at the end of your day. You see how something has changed in somebody. Somebody walks away with a little bit of hope. So you see people come into the job club and they're really nervous and just really unsure of themselves, got no confidence whatsoever. And then they 2 hours later, they walk out with this big smile on their face, and they haven't got a job yet, you know, but they feel like actually this is possible.
Yeah.
You know, and I think hopefully that's what we help people do, to see what the possibilities are rather than see what's not possible. So, there are times when I go home and feel like I just didn't see any fruit today, you know, and I just want to go lay down in a corner. But there are times when I get home, today was a really good day, I really saw fruit from what I do. And then sometimes you see people moving on in life, and it's just like, and sometimes it might take years, but you see somebody moving on in life, and it's good. I love my job. I really do love my job, and I never know what tomorrow is going to bring. Tomorrow could be,
because you don't plan ahead.
I don't plan a lot. I have loose plans.
No, I see how a planned day doesn't happen because things unfold during the day and everything changes constantly.
Yeah, so a big part of my work is reactive rather than, is it proactive? I think it's more reactive than proactive. But that's where the joy can come in. It's just like I went to work expecting one thing to happen and seven other things happened. And, you know, it was frustrating. I didn't get that one task done, but I got seven other tasks done. And it's just like, and they were much more beneficial to people than the emails I was supposed to send today. Yeah.
We always laugh and joke because you're always late, but we find it funny and amusing, and we like that fact because we know you're late for a good reason.
I always get caught up doing something else, and it's just like, I'm on my way, but I'm going to be 10 minutes late, you know, and I'm reliably late, so it's okay.
I'll be over in 15 minutes to record a podcast. 2 hours later.
I was getting told off, so
yeah.
Yeah, even I get told off.
Was it the older generation?
No.
It was.
How do you feel about God's work now? Is it?
It makes a difference because I've seen people in McDonald's, for example, and there's people who clearly hate their job and what they're doing, and they're just miserable and having a bad day and just looking at their watch, waiting to go home. And I get it. It might not be the most glamorous job in the world, and there's always going to be awkward customers. But some of them all smiles. I can't do enough to help you. And, you know, as a customer, that's a great experience.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And that is what it's like to serve Jesus, is, you know, and to do it with a smile on your face and to do it with the most generosity you can bring to that particular job. You might have your arm halfway up a cow's butt. You know, for some of us, it's just like, how do you do that? Well, actually, I've helped a calf to be delivered today. No, I haven't.
I thought you were talking from experience.
Yeah, no, I've never done that. I've never had my hand up.
A few drinks too many. It happens. Wandering home.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's like.
Yeah, you wake up the next morning and say, oh, what is that? My shoulder. No, I've never delivered calves. Not even chickens.
I think it'd be really rewarding.
I've delivered sofas.
Mm, not the same as life.
No, not quite. They were comfy, though. Yeah, so I guess in essence, doing God's work is can be anything you do, just with integrity, with joy, with love, and with generosity.
And invite Jesus to be part of it.
Absolutely. You know, so every day you welcome Jesus into your day. And you just ask him to.
I'm going to try and do more of that. I used to do it a lot. We used to do it a lot together, didn't we?
Yeah.
But sometimes they get so busy before you know it, you're caught up in the task rather than inviting Jesus.
Yeah, well, even doing this, just like there's times when it's like, oh, we didn't pray. And that's why everything's gone belly up.
We need godly help.
Yes. If ever there's a time when we haven't produced a podcast this week, it's generally because we didn't pray to begin with.
Yeah. So very, very true. So I'd done the prayer last time.
All right, so my turn, is it? Okay.
No, we're not doing turns. I just felt like people missed your professional prayers.
I don't do professional prayers. Right. There's no such thing as a bad prayer, all right? There's no such thing as an amateur or a professional prayer. But yes, I'm happy to pray. Lord Jesus, we invite you into all that we do in our lives. We invite you into the way we do work, the way we do family, even being a good dad is doing your work. So, Lord, we ask that you would come into our lives, and whatever it is that we have to do today, would you be part of it? Whether that be taking the kids swimming, whether it be digging up the road, whether it be feeding the homeless, whether it be collecting taxes or kicking people out of their houses. Lord Jesus, would you help us to do it with your grace and with your generosity, with your kindness and your gentleness. And Lord, just help us to do better at what we do, whatever it is that we do. Would you just help us to do better and to do it as you would? Help us to be your hands and feet in this world with whatever it is that we do. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. So that's the end of our episode for today. We said sorry to everyone. Any thoughts, comments, complaints can be sent to imnotachristianpodcast@gmail.com.
And address them specifically to Wayne.
Yeah. I love a complaint.
that's your job, isn't it? That's how you serve Jesus, to
I'm
handle
pretty
those
sure
complaints.
I don't invite Jesus into doing that.
Well, you should. God bless everybody. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.